We now start the second parak of Maseches Makos, and the topic of this chapter is the Are Miklat, the cities of refuge, where an accidental murderer can flee and be protected from the Goel Adam, someone who's avenging the blood of a person whom he killed accidentally. Sounds like a pretty sort of obscure topic, but the truth is, the Torah dedicates a lot of time to this. There are two large parshas in the Torah, one in Bamidbar, one in Devarim, each with many psukim that talk about accidental murder and the Goel Hadam and the fleeing to the Arei Miklat, as well as other parshas talking about Moshe Rabbeinu designating three Arei Miklat, Eva Hiyarden, and so on. So there's a lot to talk about here, and it shouldn't just be, it should occupy a good amount of your thought here in this parak. Now, the big picture is like this, as far as I understand it. We said back in Sanhedrin that there were 36 capital crimes, and when a Bezin is going to execute somebody for one of those crimes, so the people who carry out the execution is specifically the witness or witnesses who are testifying about the crime. There was one exception to that rule, and that was when it comes to murder. When it comes to murder, the Torah is lenient, and we don't need the witnesses themselves to carry out the execution. Really, kind of anyone can carry it out. There's also some leniency afforded to the Beis Din that they can essentially cause someone to die, even if they're not going to carry out execution, if they think it's necessary when they can't convict in a murder case. Because unlike all the other capital crimes in the Torah, the crime of murder is so inimical, it so undermines society so severely that we need to send a strong message. The Torah sends a strong message that we just simply cannot endure with murders running around. Now, amazingly, the person or people who are ideally to carry out the execution of a murderer are the heirs, the people who are fitting to inherit from the deceased. And the Torah refers to them as the Goel Hadam, the redeemer of the blood of the deceased. That is to say, and let me make this clear because I think people do not understand it correctly. It's based on a simple reading of the Pasuk. It's how the Rambam paskens. It's the very second halacha in Hilchas Rotzeach of the Rambam, that the ideal person to carry out the execution, meaning we're talking about an intentional murder where the Bezin convenes and convicts a person to death for killing, Reuven killing Shimon. So who should be the executioners of Reuven? Not the witnesses and not anybody else. Ideally, it should be the Goel Hadam, I'll call the children, the heirs of Shimon, the person who was killed by Reuven. Now, in addition to that, in a scenario where the courts cannot convict a murderer, for whatever reason, technicality, there was only one witness, or the witnesses, whatever reasons, couldn't do the proper testimony, or the like. So then there is not a possibility of a formal conviction by execution at the hands of the courts, but there's still the authorization for the Goel Hadam to hunt down and avenge the death of their relative. Now, that's remarkable. More than that, the Torah says, even if the death, let's say when Reuven killed Shimon, if it wasn't intentional, it was an accident, it was a pure shogeg, involuntary manslaughter. So still, there is authorization by the Torah for the Goel Hadam to pursue the accidental murderer and avenge the blood of their deceased relative, which is amazing. And it seems part of this might be a concession to human nature, but much more than that, it seems that the Torah, well, it normally has a very high standard for conviction. To convict someone for, I don't know what, Avodah Zarah or Chilul Shabbos and the like, it's obviously very, very difficult. You need to have Edim Bahasra, two witnesses who warn the person of the consequence, the person has to acknowledge the consequences and say, Afal Pikin, I'm doing it anyways. So it's obviously, if you think of the last, 100 murders that happened in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure exactly zero of them would actually be able to be carried out by a Bezin, according to the laws we learned back in Sanhedrin, to execute the murderer. Okay, so it's hard to convict. for any crime, and murder no different. And therefore, it seems the Torah wants to put pressure, if you will, pressure on society to ensure that even though if you can't convict through the normal rules of jurisprudence with that the Torah requires for other capital crimes, murder is different. If you kill someone, so there'll be a strong disincentive because his relatives are authorized to hunt you down. Okay? And that's really remarkable. So when it comes to any crime in the Torah, there's a basic sort of tripartite, you know, three levels of intentionality that went into a crime. There's mazid, a person acted willfully. There's shogeg, a person didn't act willfully. He acted out of his own volition, but he didn't intend to break the Torah. Shogeg. And then there is circumstances beyond his control, where the person didn't really even express his volition to act in such a way. He just, you know, was expressing someone else's will, or it wasn't his will at all. It just happened through some sort of stumbling accident and the like. That's called an onus. Okay. Now, normally we say that a person who commits a crime, the mazid, gets punished. If he does a bishogi, he does not get punished. Although, when it comes to, let's say, crimes that carry the penalty of karas, there would be a shogeg crime would have to bring a chatas, a sin offering. And when it comes to an ones, circumstance beyond one's control, when it wasn't expression of one's own will, someone put a gun to your head and said, do it, and then you did it, or you fell, or someone picked you up and threw you, and then your body did it, and that kind of thing. So that's called an ones, and there's no culpability whatsoever. So the basic premise of our chapter here is that even when a person kills bishogeg, unintentionally, he didn't mean to hurt anybody, but there was some element of negligence. He could have been more careful, and if he would have been more careful, something wouldn't like this wouldn't have happened. So then, although he's not certainly not convicted to be executed, he is now free game to the Goel Hadam, who can hunt him down. And like in tandem to that, he has a mitzvah. He has a requirement to go into exile, Golus, to an Ir HaMiklat, a safe town, where he's like almost like he's in jail, right? He's with no possibility of leaving. He has to relocate to the Ir HaMiklat, the safe haven city, where he must live out the rest of his time until a Kohen Gadol, who was, you know, presiding, inaugurated at the time of his conviction, dies, and then his sentence is over. And until then, he must stay without any exceptions whatsoever in this Ir HaMiklat. And while he's in the Ir HaMiklat, the Goel Hadam has no right to hunt this person down, the accidental killer down. Okay? So, now, although the Torah has this usual three levels of intentionality, mazid, intentional, shogeg, unintentional, ones, unavoidable, non-expression one's will, when it comes to Hilchos Ritzicha, murdering people, there's actually considered to be like five levels. There's intermediate stages on both directions. So in other words, you have not just mazid, shogeg, and onus, but also you have a shogeg, which was an accident, which is karov la mazid, which is close to being mazid, meaning a person was very reckless. And then there's also a shogeg, karov la onus, a person... there was some level of negligence, but it was so little, it's almost like an onus. Okay, so those are these five stages. Mazid, shogeg karav la mazid, shogeg, shogeg karav la onus, and onus. Okay, in English, if I'm forced to translate them, which maybe I will just for the sake of those who want that. So mazid is called intentional murder. It's intentional. Then you have shogeg karav la mazid, which is essentially criminally negligent homicide. So this person really acted with gross negligence, criminal negligence. Then you have generic shogeg, that is like involuntary manslaughter, a person killed because he was doing something that was reckless, but he had no desire to kill anybody. He was just, you know, speeding on the highway, not looking where he was going necessarily. Then you have shogeg karav la ones, which is an accidental death. He just didn't, you know, take proper safety precautions or something like that, but he didn't do anything especially egregious, and some terrible accident happened, accidental death. And then you have ones, which is like unavoidable circumstances. Okay, it happened, it's a terrible tragedy, but really no reasonable precautions could have been taken to prevent it. Now, the shogeg is the one who goes into gullus. If a person is more negligent than that, so he's shogeg karov lemazid, so now he's criminally negligent, and he doesn't get the benefit of getting atonement by going to an Ir HaMiklat. In other words, even if he goes to Ir Miklat, it affords no protection, and the Gol Adam can hunt him down. So kind of like what we have when it comes to a Chatas offering, where if a person does a sin, like Machal Shabbos, for example, that has a penalty of Karas, and he does it B'shogeg, he can bring a Chatas and get atonement. If he was if he acted willfully, he cannot bring a chatas. He's not allowed to bring a chatas. He's not allowed to get off so easy and get that kind of atonement. So the same kind of thing, the person who kills shogeg karov lemezid, not with intent to kill, but he was criminally negligent when he killed because he was so reckless, that person's not allowed to go to Ir HaMiklat, or if he does, it affords him no protection. So that means, really, if you are going to sort of categorize the first three, mezid, shogeg karov lemezid, and shogeg, all three of those cases, the person is called a rotzeach, he's called a murderer. The Torah, the psukim, the Mishnah will call him a rotzeach, a murderer. And the Gol Adam has the permission of the Torah to hunt down this rotzeach and kill him with or without the formal consent, you know, and psak of the court. If a person is a shogeg proper, he is afforded protections, the protection of the Ir HaMiklat, so while he's there, he cannot be touched. And if it's less than that, meaning it's a shogeg karov la'ones, so it's like essentially an accidental death or an onus proper, then there's no obligation to go to the Ir HaMiklat, and there's no authorization for the Gol Adam to hunt the accidental killer down. And if the Gol Adam would, you know, harm him in any way, he'd be culpable like any other person who harms any other person. That's the basic setup. Now, the Ir HaMiklat, as we'll see, there were six of them, basically equally spaced around Israel, both three on the west part of the Jordan and three on the east part of the Jordan, where you have, you know, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shev, and Manasseh over there. In addition, you have another 42 cities. The Mishnah doesn't mention them, but the 42 cities of the Levim also function as Ir HaMiklat, cities of refuge. So really you have 42 plus 6 is 48. There's a technical difference that the Ir HaMiklat affords protection to anybody who's there, whether or not they are seeking protection, whereas the 42 cities of the Levium only provide protection to those who go there with the intention of getting protection, not just because they happen to be there. Okay, so that's the setup. So our mission is going to, our whole parak will discuss these topics. Let's see it inside. I almost, in the previous recording, actually, I recorded it explaining the Pesukim inside, but it took so long to go through two parshas, I read the recording, but it's kedai to go and actually, for my opinion, to go review those parshios before you begin. I'll tell you where they are right now. One is in Chumash Bamidbar in Parshas Masai, starting, it's in Perek Lamed Hei, chapter 35, starting with verse 9. And the other section of the Torah is in Parshas Shoftim in Sefer Devarim, starting with Perek Yod Tes, chapter 19. I recommend you look over there. Okay, now, says the Mishnah inside, Elu Ha'en Hagolin, the following, you know who goes into Galus? Hahoreg Nefesh Bishkaga, someone who kills another Jew, and really, according to many, even a non-Jew, bishkaga, which means, bishkaga means without, like I said before, without intending to kill them. It was an accident. That's the person who goes into Gullus. Now, we're going to give some examples. Now, the examples here, the first sets of examples, we're going to have three going, that the action was happening, going down towards, like down with gravity, going downwards, and something bad happened, and the second three will be going upwards, like against gravity, and something bad happens. Based on a pasuk, the pasuk which says in the one of the parts of the parsha, but midbar there in Bamasai, it says v'yapel alav v'yamos, and he falls upon him, and he dies. So this extra word of v'yapel, which seems sort of gratuitous, the falling, going down. Based on that gzeras akasav, we're going to say there's a difference between actions going downwards and actions going upwards. Okay, we'll see illustrations of the Mishnah now, but basically it's gzeras akasav. The Rambam gives a rationale for this in the Torah. The Rambam basically says, listen, when you're going down, you know, things, when you're like say, lowering something heavy, let's say you're going down a ladder, you know, you can anticipate falling down faster than you expected or something, and there's someone down there to look at and so on, so therefore you have to be more careful. Whereas if you're going up, That's not the case. That's the Rambam's explanation. Really, it's Gezeiras HaKasav. You're not going to figure out something like physics to explain why one down should be more reckless than going up. But in any case, here are the cases inside in the Mishnah. We have three of them, which is Haya Ma'agel B'Ma'agila. A person is rolling the plaster on his roof with the Ma'agila as like a roller on the roofs. The roofs are flat, but they would make them like sloped with plaster or cement or something, so that the water would, you know, roll off and down and not pool on top of the roofs and make cracks and leak into their houses. So if a person is pushing this roller, and he's pushing it like downhill towards the edge of the roof, away from the center, going downwards, v'nafla alav, and then the roller gets away from him, the man on the roof, and it goes tumbling down to the ground, and lo and behold, there's a person below upon whom this roller falls, v'haragatu, and it kills that victim. Or, case number B is Haya Mishalshel B'chavis. A person is lowering a barrel off the roof, like with a, I think like a pulley and a rope. And he's lowering the barrel down. V'nafla alav, but the barrel falls faster than anticipated, and it goes crashing down on someone below, and v'haragatu, and it kills that person. Or Haya Yored B'sulam. The person himself is going down off his roof, down the ladder. V'nafal, and he falls alav on the victim below, the accidentally, v'haragatu, and the person dies from the impact of being collapsed upon. In all three of those cases, hare zegola, that's a case of inadvertent killing b'shogeg, involuntary manslaughter. And that being the case, in all three, a person should go into gullus. And all three cases are given because, first of all, of course, the idea is, if you're rolling the roller on your roof, of course, who wants the inconvenience of letting the roller go? You have to pick it up and bring it back up. A person's making an effort not to let it go and let it fall off the roof, and yet it does. So he didn't intend it. It was an accident, of course. Even more so, if a person's lowering a barrel off the roof with like a rope and pulley, obviously he wants the barrel to go down slowly and in a controlled fashion, because if it falls, it's going to smash his barrel. So he's incentivized. He has an incent. He's incented. He's an incentive to not let the barrel crash the ground, but yet it did. So that was an accident, it was going downhill. Or even if it's his own person, right? His person, he's walking down the ladder. Obviously, a person does everything he can not to fall off a ladder and injure himself. So this guy did. All three of these cases are accidents, but that's a shogeg. And if the person down below dies, so that's considered to be a shogeg, and he will go into gullus. Aval, however, now contrasting this, if the person was acting in the, like an upwards, so in other words, avlimahaya moshech b'magela, first one we're not pushing, but rather pulling the roller on the roof uphill, like away from the slope. V'nafla alav, but the roller gets away from him. V'haragatu, and it falls upon the victim down below, and it kills him. Or haya dole b'chavis, dole, like the word is like you're usually dole mashke, you're dole, like you like scoop up out of a well or something, but he's like lifting up the barrel up towards the roof, going upwards again. And then v'nifsak achevel, but the rope snaps. V'nafla alav, and then it crashes down upon the guy below, v'haragatu, and it kills him. Or haya ole besulam, a person's walking up a ladder, v'nafla alav, but he slips and he falls down upon his victim down below, again on accident, v'harago, and he kills the person down below. Hareze eino gole, in those cases, he doesn't go into gullus. It's considered like a step down. It could be because it's a shogeg karav la'ones. It's more accidental. It could be just gezeiras hakasav. You're less culpable. Or both those things. In any case, those are examples where a person would not go into gullus, and it's considered to be less. He's less, even less culpable than a shogeg, and he wouldn't go into gullus. And certainly not. He's not free game to the goel hadam. Zeh klal. The Mishnah gives the basic principle, like I started to explain already, which is kol shebederach yiridah. So anytime you're talking about someone going in a downward way, and that's when the accident happens, so then gola, that's considered to be basic shogeg, and a person goes into gullus. V'shelo b'derach yiridah. So if it's not on the way down, he's on the way up, and then an accident happens, and a person dies from that kinetic activity, eino gola, a person's not required to go into gullus, again, based on a pasuk, v'yapel alav v'yamos, it's about falling down. Now, new paragraph. It should be a new Mishnah in the Bavli. It's a new Mishnah in the Bavli. Now we're referring to a case that's in the Parshin Shoftim explicitly. It gives an example of what is an accidental death. Now the Parsha says, Asher yavo Esrael b'ya'ar lachtov etzim. Reuven and Shimon go into the forest there, chopping down wood. Reuven's doing the chopping. V'nidcha yado b'garzen l'chros eitz. Reuven swings the axe. V'nashal ha-barzel min ha-eitz. And the v'nashal, like I call it, loosened ha-barzel, the metal, min ha-eitz, from the wood. U'matza Yisrael v'meis. And then that hits the victim, and the victim dies. Shimon dies. So hu yanus el achas harim ha'ela v'chai. So then that's considered to be, again, an accident. That's a shogeg. And the Reuven, who's swinging the axe and doing the chopping, he's the one who has to go into Gullis, like I said. Now, I translate it in a very ambiguous way because there's two ways to read that pasuk. And the simple reading would be when we say that he was lichros ha'etz, he was chopping down a tree. The word ha'etz is an ambiguous term. It could refer to trees or wood. So if certainly lichros ha'etz, to chop down the ha'etz, is referring to the tree itself. Here ha'etz means tree for sure. Then v'nashal. Now nashal, as it's properly read, with a kamatz and a patach, v'nashal, that's a pa'al, it's a passive. And nashal means it got loosed. It loosened passively. Habarzel, the metal, the iron, you know, the axe head, min ha'etz, from the ha'etz. Now the word etz again is ambiguous. It could mean wood or it could mean tree. But since in the 4 words ago it meant ha'etz meant tree, here it's a little strange. It could mean tree or it could mean the axe handle. But since we're talking about v'nashal, it came loose, the metal of habarzel, so we understand that this ha'etz is referring to the, according to the one reading, this ha'etz is referring to the handle. And therefore the point is, v'nashal habarzel min ha'etz means the axe head flew off from the axe handle. And the word ha'etz means two different things. And then umatz esreu v'meis, the axe head flies off of the axe and hits Shimon in a freak accident, and Shimon dies. There's a different way to read it, which is that when we say ha'etz, we are referring to the tree in both contexts. And it says, lichros ha'etz, he's chopping down the tree. And now here, nun shin lamed of the pasuk has no vowels. So if you learn that it could go according to the way it's written, the Masoras, as opposed to the mikra, the way it's pronounced, you could read it as like v'nishel, instead of v'nashal. And if it's v'nishel, it means it's a peel. It causes the loosening of v'nishel habarzel min ha'etz. The axe head causes something to be loosened from the tree, meaning a piece of wood which flies off. And the person swinging the axe stays together, but a wood chip flies off. V'nishel, I call it habarzel min ha'etz. And a piece of wood flies off, umatzas reu v'meis, and it strikes the victim Shimon, and Shimon dies. Now, the advantage of that reading is that you're consistent in using the word ha'etz twice, referring to the tree. But the disadvantage is you're reading it as if it's a v'nishel, when really it's pronounced v'nashel. There's a machlokas what the case is in the psukim, but it has a big nafkamina. Because the thought is that it's a little more far out, a little less negligent if it's a wood chip flying off the tree. First of all, it's what's called koch kocho, like a person was swinging an axe and, like, you know, the wood chip, which wasn't moving, bounced off, so to speak, of the axe, if you will, and flew away. That's more of a freak accident, okay? Meaning that if we learn that the wood chip killing is the standard for shkaga, so then an axe head flying off means the guy didn't check his equipment properly at all, and he was more negligent. And if it would be the axe head flying off, it wouldn't be a shkaga case, it would be more negligent, it'd be like criminally negligent homicide, and it'd be what's called the shogeg karov lemezid, is close to being amazed, and he wouldn't go into galus because he's not entitled to, because he was too reckless, too negligent by not checking his equipment. The other interpretation, which is the halacha, is that it is in fact the axe head flying off, and therefore that's what would be an illustration of shkaga. It was an accident. He was chopping. No one wants his axe to fly off. The axe did fly off. It killed someone. It was a shogeg, a total accident. But you know what? He could have checked his equipment better, and therefore he's considered to be liable, and he has to go into gullus. Whereas if a freak accident of a person chopping and then a piece of wood flying off in just the exact wrong direction and killing the guy standing nearby, that's already far out. That's like an accidental death. It's a shogig karav la'ones, almost unavoidable. And that being the case, he would not be liable for galus because it's too, this culpability is too low, his recklessness doesn't even reach the threshold of being shogig. It's shogig karav la'ones, and therefore he no galus and no rights of the gol adam to pursue and kill this accidental, this person who caused the accident. Okay, so that's the two sides of the story. The Mishnah says inside, Nishmata Barzel Mikito Vaharag, if the axe head flies loose from its handle and it kills someone, Rebbe Yomer, Eino Gola. Rebbe says that's not considered gullus because that's too reckless. That was criminally negligent homicide because the person was totally, it's a shogeg karav lamezid. He should have checked his equipment. What kind of person chops with a loose axe head is totally crazy. And therefore, he doesn't even get the benefit of protection by Ir Miklat. Because he reads it as I said before, he's reading the pasuk is not talking about the axe head flying off, but rather the axe causing the wood to fly off. V'chacham omrim, the chacham say no, gola. They say that is exactly the case of gola. If it would be the axe head flying off. Mene eitz hamitbakeya, if it would be that a piece of wood chip flew off from the tree that was being chopped down, and that wood chip killed someone standing by. So Rebbe Omer Gola. Rebbe says, yeah, that is the case of the Pasuk. That's considered to be the Shogeg, and that's when you're going to Galus. But the Chachamim, whom the Halacha follows, Omrim Eino Gola. He says, they say, no, you don't go to Galus because that is a Shogeg Karav La'ones. It's just a freak accident. It's an accidental death, and there's no culpability on the behalf of the accidental killer to go into exile because it was not his own actions, it wasn't koch, but it was koch kocho, an indirect rebound off of his axe head that the wood flew, and a freak accident like that is considered to be karav la'onis, and therefore no responsibility to go into galus whatsoever.